again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a stunningly gorgeous, crisp fall afternoon in Vancouver. This podcast is going to be a little bit different from most, if not all, that we've done in the past, in that you are stuck listening to me alone. I'm not going to chat with anybody else for the next 5 minutes, but just wanted to do this to alert you to a new series that we have coming out of medical education that the other editors and I are quite excited about, and wanted to make sure that you had the information available to you to allow you to seek it out and hopefully also think about what contributions you might be able to make that would make the series a success. One of the challenges for a journal like ours is obviously that there's limited space, and in a field like health professional education, we all know that there's tremendous diversity in terms of the degree of training or background that practitioners and researchers have, and even taking aside that amount of training, it's such a diverse field that it's truly impossible for any individual to be fully fluent in every type of research or theoretical domain that might be relevant to some of the problems that we're trying to grapple with. To that end, we started a series called The Cross-Cutting Edge about a decade ago. The name was meant to be a bit of a pun in that it's meant to be cross-cutting research, meaning papers exploring relevant theory and data from domains that are typically published outside of our particular field's journals, while at the same time cutting edge, meaning, as the name implies, highly relevant and timely to the particular issues that we're grappling with. And the idea, again, was to make some content issues that might be very valuable to people within medical education accessible to those who haven't encountered the research from other disciplines and journals that are unlikely to be picked up by anyone in particular. Similarly, we want to obviously share the best and the strongest articles in our field and the best thinking that helps us collectively move forward, at the same time as hoping that we're playing a role in terms of helping newcomers to the field develop and helping them and those of us who have been around for a little while discover new possibilities and new ways of exploring the issues that we think to be so important. So as of the November 2018 issue, we're starting up a series that's in many ways quite parallel to the Cross-Cutting Edge series, but this one is focused on research methodologies. And particularly, we've called it research approaches to try to reflect that any number of issues relevant to how we conduct research in health professional education might be relevant and totally appropriate for that series. The idea is that each paper in the series would take some aspect of our methodological practices and problematize them in terms of really offering some strong reflections on what works well, where some of the blind spots in the way that methodologies have been used in medical education or health professional education more generally, that we would again collectively try to move forward by better understanding when and where and how different approaches can be applied. And rather than promoting these things as a particular accumulation of criteria that need to be filled, my hope is that the papers will help individuals think better about why they might choose to use a particular research approach and what modifications to any given standard approach might be necessary or appropriate given the contextual factors that we have to grapple with in educational research. We've published articles like the ones I'm describing before. There are a number of articles that have been very well received by our readers, focused on how to conduct qualitative interviews and grounded theory and a variety of different reliability and validity issues. Again, this isn't meant to be a series that is simply a recipe book or a how-to, but rather is meant to offer more insights into where the research approaches came from, what purpose they were meant to fulfill, why those purposes might be appropriate in health professional education, and again, what sorts of modifications need to be made to the way that the approaches may be used in other areas in order to accommodate the complex reality that is the world in which we work. So for examples of the types of articles that might be appropriate, I would certainly reference you back to our archive to see a variety of articles like the ones that we anticipate. We're labeling this a new series and trying to encourage some thinking about what contributions might be most effective, largely as a way, though, of sort of systematizing that effort and making sure that we spend some time deliberately thinking about how do we take the next step in our evolution as a field, and also what information might be particularly valuable to those who are new to the field, and as they think about the variety of approaches that might be particularly relevant to help them make a significant contribution. The first paper to be published under this new label is offered by Porteous and colleagues, entitled What Can Discrete Choice Experiments Do for You? It's a good place to look as an example of the types of articles we're seeking. We have updated the author guidelines as well, so you can go online to get a bit more detail. And of course, there is an editorial that I've offered in the November 2018 issue of Medical Education that really was built with the consultation and advisement of all the deputy editors. So this has truly been a collaborative effort, and we look forward to seeing how it evolves and what sorts of things you as the community put forward as priority areas for how we think better about our research approaches. And while I'm here, though, and simply talking to myself, I'll also take an opportunity to just, again, thank you for listening. I receive emails and comments fairly frequently from people indicating what they enjoy and what they would like to see improved. And so I encourage you as well, if you have any thoughts on that, to please send them along. If these are useful to you, then we're thrilled. But obviously, you can always stand to get better. We are not in a professional production studio, as those of you who listen regularly will know, and so we're quite dependent on the technological connections with individuals and the place in which they work and the technologies they have available to them. I have no real option other than to apologize for the quality of the sound on some of the recordings, but hope that the content at least is useful even when it's not necessarily the crispest. I can assure you, though, that it would be much worse if it weren't for the exceptional production services offered by Betsy Agar, who is the individual who cleans all of these things up for us and makes me sound at least a little bit less stuttery, and eternally grateful for her efforts in supporting this little initiative that we have going. Thanks again for listening and for sharing the word if you find this valuable, and we'll be back in December with much more typical pair of podcasts as we continue to look forward to the articles that are about to be released and are moving well into our planning for 2019. Hope everyone is well.